All right, take your Bibles now and let's turn to the book of Psalms and the 11th Psalm, Psalm chapter 11. And I want you to follow as I read through this whole chapter, and then we'll make our comments on this particular chapter and the message that I believe God has for us tonight. The title of the message is Protection Through the Dark Hour. Protection Through the Dark Hour. I believe all of us have some discouraging hours. I've been pastoring a long time and a lot of people over the years, and it has been my experience that sooner or later most people have some tough times, some discouraging times, some times where people disappoint you or there are physical problems. Maybe some financial reversals. Maybe things just physiologically are not working out in your body and there are some problems that develop because of that. But I'm convinced that all of us have our blue times, our discouraging times. Now some are far better at it than others, but I do believe nobody is immune to those things. Even David, the great man of God, who was not perfect, but a great man of God, who wrote the vast majority of the Psalms, I believe that he also would be discouraged at times. But what we need to do is stay encouraged no matter what. We're to stay encouraged in the Lord. Look at this Psalm beginning with verse 1, Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily or privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes, behold his eyelids. Did you know God has eyes? Of course, that's a metaphorical situation there, but we can relate to it. We understand. His eyes, behold his eyelids, try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, if we can just briefly get in mind a little bit about the background of this particular psalm. It was a psalm when David was in a battle and he had a choice to stand up to the enemy or run and flee like a coward. Just like you and I have a choice many times when we face our battles. Do we run and hide? Do we become cowards? Do we get defeated? Do we quit? Do we get down and broken and despondent? Or do we stand up and go forward and have courage and have faith in God, our sovereign and eternal Almighty God? Which is it in my life and in your life? And which is the way that we practice when we face all of these different things? In this, you have sort of a Q&A time. David and his enemies, or his friends, who actually were sort of like Job's friends. They, in a way, were his enemies during that time. May I simply say to you tonight, be careful who you listen to. Be careful what advice you take from your very best friends and your relatives, and perhaps even your own mate. Be sure that you listen to God and you're listening to what God wants to say to you. And so we have David dealing with this particular choice that he had to make. And so he gets some advice from his friends. Look at it. The second part of verse 1 all the way through verse 3. hears the advice, and this is sort of a question and answer, and they're talking back and forth in this dialogue with his friends. And so he says, "How say ye, why do you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" And here's what they were telling him: run, flee, don't stand, don't try to win the victory here, just take off and run. Isn't that the way the devil talks to us? Go ahead and get defeated, go ahead and run, go ahead, this is just one time, don't worry about it, just run. After all, there are some more things that are more important. He tries to lie to us and tell us. And so his friends are saying to him, and he's arguing with them, "How do you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain?" Look at verse 2. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow." This is what his friends are telling him. They bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. They're ready. They've got it pulled back. They're ready to shoot you, David, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. That's you. And they're saying, "David, don't you see? You're in danger. Don't you see? It's time to run. Don't you see? You're fixing to be defeated." And the enemies are there. Believe you me, the enemies are always trying to defeat us. All the time. Through everything and every situation that he can throw at us, he is trying to defeat us. And he lies to us. Tells us the same kind of things that David's friends perhaps were telling him. And then they said in verse 3, "After all, David, don't you realize if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? David, if you get killed, David, if you get hurt, if you're out of commission, then what are the rest of us going to do? How are we going to function? If you don't run and get out of here and run to the hills like a bird fleeing, then you're going to die, or you're going to have problems, and the whole result is that all of us are going to be defeated." So that was advice of David's friends. Many times, well-meaning people will give us advice. And they'll tell us, you know, God understands your finances. Just start using your tithes and offerings for yourself. He understands what you're going through. Or the best thing to do is just stay out of church a little while until these things blow over and people quit talking. A number of different things. And the devil's always trying to say that to us. But what we need to do is take the advice and the information that God gives us. Now look at how David is answering these so-called friends who meant well. And often they do. They're not after us. They don't hate us. They're not mean to us. They don't dislike us. But sometimes they still give us wrong advice. And so David is answering them, first part of verse 1. Look at what he says. "In the Lord put I my trust." Amen? Is that true of us tonight? In the Lord, Jehovah God, put I my trust. And then he turns around and says, "Why are you asking me these? Why are you giving me this advice?" He makes a statement. "I'm putting my trust in Almighty God, Jehovah Elohim, the one who was, is, always shall be, the great, sovereign, supreme object of worship. I am putting my faith and my trust in the Lord." Boy, that's the place to put it, isn't it? Are you putting your trust in anybody else, in anything else, or are you putting your trust in Jehovah God? Are you thinking that somehow there's no way it can be worked out, and it's an impossible task, and it'll never come to fruition? Friend, listen to what David said. "In the Lord put I my trust." I'm trusting God. And then in verse 4, he said, "The Lord is in his holy temple." God exists. Now here's what he's saying. Let's break down these next few verses and see. David is still speaking, and he's defending his position. And he starts out real well by saying, "In the Lord put I my trust." And then in verse 4, he first of all says, "God is present." Look at it. The Lord is in his holy temple. How many of you believe tonight God's in his holy temple? Raise your hand. Where is his holy temple? Well, it's up there in heaven. We know he's ruling and reigning from heaven. He is tonight in his holy temple. God's not tired, like some of you may be. God's not weak. God is not, his patience are not to an end. He's not afraid. God is in his holy By the way, it is a holy temple. He is in his holy temple. And David said, guys, I just want to remind you of something, that God is present. David had known, here's how he knew that. Many a trial David had already been through. One over here, and one over here, and one down here, and one over here. And by the way, that's why God allows a lot of the problems to grow us, to make our faith stronger. Not because he's mad at you. Now, if you're living in sin, he may be chastising you, but if you're walking with him the best you can, and he allows these trials and difficulties to grow our faith, to grow our faith. You know, there are some trees, the wood is far more valuable than some other trees. And the reason is they're on top of the mountain where all the storms and wind comes, and it's a better grade of wood, and you pay a higher price for that. And so God allows troubles and trials and difficulties to come into our life, not because he's mad at us, not because of that, but he's just growing our faith to see if we're going to trust him. But David knew something. He knew God was in his holy temple. And he knew that the Lord was who he put his trust in. And every time he had done that, he had always come out victorious because God's on the throne. Amen? God is in his holy temple. I'm comforted by that tonight to believe that Almighty God is there in his holy temple. God is present. Sometimes we all have some trials and difficulties and some problems. What's the best thing to do? Get alone somewhere with God on your knees. And bow down. Just get on your knees and bow down. Now I hope I can get back up. And pray. And take it to God and recognize and realize that God is in his holy temple. Oh, I've had some trials along the way. Being a pastor, being a father, having friends that you thought were friends. All of those things. And I've seen some trials come with family, with finances, you name it. A lot of different things. Death, premature death of a loved one in some cases, all of that. But you know what I've found? God's there. God is in his holy temple. And that's why I can stand here tonight and I don't have to say to them, folks, I think this is right. It's a very good possibility. We don't really know, but I think it's right. I can tell you by experience, and I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, that God is in his holy temple. Amen. And then he says God is presiding. He is presiding. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Yeah. Now, what's a throne for? A king. A magistrate. Somebody who is sitting on the throne. God is in his holy temple tonight and he's sitting on his throne and he has everything in control. God has never lost a nation that he didn't want to be lost. God has never lost a church that he didn't want to be lost. God has never lost an individual like David that he didn't want to be lost. I'm talking about in the matter of his control in their lives. God is in control of my life and your life tonight. The steps, the psalmist said in 37, 22 and 23, I think it is, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Romans 8, 28, one of my favorite verses. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Do you believe that tonight? God is in his holy temple. And God is presiding. He's never lost control. He is not losing control tonight. He never will lose control. David's answering his friends who said, run, David. Run, flee like a bird. Be a coward. Run from it all. And cave in to all of it. And give in to all of it. And he says, wait a minute, wait a minute. God is presiding. And God is present. He's there. And then God is perceiving. I think that's the third part of that verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. Number two, the Lord's throne is in heaven. Number three, his eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. You realize tonight, I don't know how God does this. I don't know how he does it. But he wouldn't be God if I could figure him out. And if I had all the answers. But I can tell you this for sure. God knows what we're doing. God knows. This is something that blows my mind. God knows how many hairs on your head. He even knows whether it's real or not. Amen? Now, to some, it doesn't tax God very much. To some, it may. But how many of you tonight really believe that God knows how many hairs or lack of hairs on your head? Raise your hand. Amen? We have a God like that. God's looking. I don't know how he does that, but the Bible says his eyes are watching his children. He's watching everything, but he's watching his children. He's watching us tonight. He's watching you while I'm preaching. Just thought I'd throw that in. He's watching you while I'm preaching. And in all seriousness, his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. He's watching us all the time. David said, "Don't bug me, guys. God knows what I'm going through. God's on his throne and God knows what I'm going through. He's watching. He's not fooled." You see God up there and say, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know that was happening to him." God never does that. God is never surprised. The Holy Spirit who lives in you is never surprised. He's omniscient. He knows the past. He knows right now. He knows the future. God knows all about that. And so God is perceiving. He's watching over us. He's looking at our lives. Not only that, David knew that God was the one who punishes. God was present, presiding, perceiving, and God punishes. Look at the latter part of that verse. He said, "The children, the eyelids try the children of men, and the Lord trieth the righteous." He tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, this is what God says, his soul hateth. God doesn't like it. God is not for the wicked. God is going to judge the wicked. One of these days, the devil and the demons of hell and all of the evil, immoral, wicked, God-haters and God-deniers, infidels, agnostics, and all the rest, God is going to judge them with a final judgment. Amen. Oh, he's a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. David said, "I know God. I know God looks upon me, the righteous, the saved, and I know God looks upon the enemy. And I know God looks upon the wicked. And I know God knows how to take care of those who are wicked." God's going to do that. And look at verse 6. "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares." God brings snares in their life. Fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest, a burning tempest. "This shall be the portion of their cup." David said, "I know who's watching. God's watching. He's looking at me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows I need him. He knows that I'm depending on him. He knows I need his power. He's watching. Not only that, he knows who these enemies are that are trying to destroy me, that are trying to defeat me." When I first got in the pastorate, I used to worry myself all the time about what are people thinking, what's going on, well, is the church going to, what's going to happen, and all that. And then I finally learned one day, that really doesn't pay off too good. That really is counterproductive. And I do have some temptations about that once in a while, but I've learned to say, "God, you're watching the church. You're watching everybody in the church. You know what's going on. It's your church, not my church. I'm just your under-shepherd and the bishop over it in the local sense, and it's your church. So, God, please, you work it out." And I want to tell you, I have seen him work it out many times. Many, many times. And I've seen God deal with situations because God had to. I've seen Christians who were living in sin, pretending they were not, fooling everybody, husbands fooling their wives, wives fooling their husbands, fooling the preacher for a while. But all of a sudden, God says, "I want to show everybody something." And he takes care of it. And he's done it. So God punishes. Now that's primarily to the wicked, but it also means he chastises those that are saved. And so David said, "I know who's in charge of this thing." And then he closes it out in verse 7 by saying, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." I wish we could get that in our hearts and minds real strong. The righteous Lord righteous Lord, the holy God, loves holiness and righteousness. He loves it. He loves it. His countenance doth behold the upright. Aren't you glad we have a personal God? I'm glad He's not some powerful force way out there somewhere that we're coward and we fear. Oh, is that force pleased with me, and is He going to kill me, and what's going to happen to me? I'm afraid a lot of Christians think that way about God, but that's not the way God is. We have a personal God who loves us, who knows us, and wants to help us. And David knew all of that. And that's how David was answering him. He said, guys, you can tell me to run. You can tell me to flee. You can tell me to be a coward. You can tell me to give in and be defeated and all of that. But he said, wait a minute. In the Lord put I my trust. Because He is present, He is presiding, He is perceiving, He's watching, He punishes, He's in control. He is a personal God. What we need to do tonight in all of the things we face is trust this psalm and trust the one who gave the psalm, and that's God Almighty. David was writing down what God wanted him to write down. Oh, it was coming from his experience and coming from his heart, but God would not let him write anything erroneous. He wrote down exactly what God wanted him to write down. Trust in the God of the psalmist. And what we need to do is always take refuge in God no matter what comes. No matter what comes, take refuge in God. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to his demons. Sometimes don't listen to people who are well-meaning. But always remember the truth about God that God has revealed to you. Now, had God revealed it to David? Well, he didn't have a completed Old Testament at that time. You and I do have. And we have a New Testament. We have both. But David, through his experience, knew, and through his encounters with God and his walk with God, that these things were absolutely true. Psalm 22:8. The Bible says he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. And my friend, he'll deliver you tonight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And if you're lost, never been born again, he'll deliver you too. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment. And then Brother Gaiman will be leading us in our song of invitation. Heavenly Father, we all have some difficulties and some trials and some times that we cannot rationalize and we cannot understand. Things that we'd probably rather not have, enemies of that day. But God, I'm thankful that He knew who You were and He knew these things about You. And You had Him write it in the psalm so that we could feast upon it tonight and be strengthened and be encouraged and be helped. May we bring our burdens to You tonight. If there's someone here that has never been saved, they need to bring their sin burden. I pray they would. Lord, whatever other burden there may be, whatever other thing, we may leave it at Your feet, leave it in Your hands. Trust You like David did, not flee as a bird, not get down and defeated and depressed and despondent and run from it all or just cave into it or give in to it, but to say, my God will give the victory. Lord, help us to have that victory tonight. In Jesus' name.